picture of the ideal wife in Proverbs 31 portrays an amazingly accomplished woman. She's a wife and a mother, and she's a businesswoman. She sells real estate, and she's an artist who weaves and sells handcrafted artisanal linens at the local farmers market. In a society that saw women as the property of men, the wife in Proverbs 31 is an intelligent, productive leader who doesn't let the patriarchy slow her down. The book of Proverbs is the same genre of literature which I spoke about last week, called Hebrew wisdom literature. A wise old king wrote down these words, by the way, that he learned from his mother, about what kind of woman he should aspire to marry. I find it really amazing that even thousands of years ago, 3,000 years ago, when a woman's place in society was considered to be controlled by men, this passage of scripture actually lifts up a woman as a leader. Consider verse 31. In the NRSV, this verse reads, "Give her a share in the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the city gates." This ideal wife isn't some shadowy figure who's confined to within her home. This woman is praised for her business skills as much as she's praised for her parenting. And she's earned respect as a leader in the community. This morning, the worship committee thought that it would be valuable for us to hear the voices of several women who are leaders in our community. These are all women who play many different roles. They're wives and mothers, they're also daughters and sisters, they're teachers, and they're leaders. They're leaders in our community, and they're leaders here in our church. Now, none of these women is perfect, and personally, I'm glad for that, because I'm not perfect either, and I will tell you this morning that a pastor's worst nightmare is to forget their sermon notes right before a sermon, and then go up to speak and realize, where are my notes? And that very nearly happened to me this morning. If you saw, I had to duck out and go grab my notes, dealing with a child who is not particularly well-mannered this morning. So I am certainly not perfect myself. And I'm glad that we don't have to be perfect in order to experience God's work in our lives. So none of these women are perfect who are sharing this morning, but each of them has a story they'd like to share with us about how they've experienced God at work in their lives. So I'd like to thank Michelle, Channy, and Maida for being willing to share your stories openly and honestly with us this morning. I'll invite you to come forward. Thank you for sharing.
Okay, good morning, I'm Maida Thiessen, and Dallas is helping me today. I'm a teacher, and in school, when I have students read nonfiction, we look at the text thinking about the big three questions. So students have to mark their text with an exclamation mark, a question mark, or a C. So the exclamation is, what surprised me about what I read? The question mark is, what did the author think I knew? And that just means that it's okay, we don't understand everything we read. Sometimes we don't know vocabulary, we don't have prior knowledge to understand something, so you just give it a little question mark and we'll figure it out. And the C is, what challenged, changed, or confirmed my thinking about what I read? So this morning I thought I would apply the big three to parenting. So what surprised me about being a parent? What the author of my life, God, thought I'd know, but I don't have it figured out yet, and what has challenged, changed, and confirmed my thinking about parenting. So what surprised me? I'm surprised every day at how much I actually love my children and family. It's hard to describe this feeling. One of my friends describes it as feeling like her entire heart is wrapping around her children when they hug. It's the love that reminds me of that song that we sang in Sunday school when I was little. Love is something if you give it away, you end up having more. I think we've all experienced this in one way or another. You think you've reached your limit on your friends group in your social circle, but then you meet someone else and they join in and you feel so blessed to have so many friends. You have one cat and you think that's it for pets, and then all of a sudden you get another cat and you're so happy with two pets in the house, why would you have ever even had one? Your brother gets married and your sister-in-law becomes one of your best and closest friends. There's always more room for love. This feeling gives us a glimpse of the love of God that just opens and widens in ways that are difficult to explain, but you can feel that room just growing in your heart. And for sure, the lesson here is that this is God's love, this ever-expanding love and forgiveness for God's people. And I'm reminded of the verse from Ephesians 3. I pray that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So the next is a question mark. What God, the author of my life, thought I would know. I give this one a question mark because I'm pretty sure God wants me to know that I should continue as a parent to work on my own spiritual care and faith. And I'm not sure if it's just because I'm at a certain age in my life or if it's because of where I am with the age of my kids and parenting, but I've been struggling to work on my own prayer time, my own Bible reading. I've been wanting to go to adult Sunday school and dialogue with others about faith, and I haven't shown up once. I often have difficulty focusing in church with kids on my lap asking for snacks, and I miss the feeling of being fully present and just in the moment at church, or just having a good conversation with someone about God and faith. I remember a Facebook post of a comic from the past that made me laugh. It was a cartoon displaying a piece of the well-known Footprints poem where Jesus answers a man's question, "Where were you in my life?" And when he sees only the one set of footprints, and Jesus responds that those were the moments that I carried you. And then they continue walking along, and Jesus points off to the side and says this. And this one stuck with me, and my interpretation here is not that Jesus is dragging me kicking and screaming, but more the moments in my life when I'm just tired and worn out, and I need to be pulled along to kind of get out of my slump of faith. And so I'm grateful that the grace of God is just still pulls me along, and God is by my side, even when my faith is imperfect and has those imperfect moments. So we're down to the three C's. What has challenged my thinking as a parent? And this one is the balance thing, how to balance work, life, time with family, friends, husband. I'm not sure how to manage this one. And I think many people, whether having a family or not, it's part of our society today. The work-life balance is a big one. I try to sustain myself through good people and good food. I draw strength from spending time with my kids and my family and my husband and connecting and laughing with friends. I enjoy being outside and I like to exercise, but I don't think I do those as much as I should. I often compartmentalize my life. So this is work, this is family, and maybe if there's time at the end, I can squeeze in a little time with friends. And so it's all these separate zones. And so I'm trying to challenge my thinking on this a bit and trying to look at it more like all of these pieces are part of a whole. And so I'm trying to bring my whole person to work and my passion for learning and working with others back into my life and my family. And I find that to be sustaining for me, even if it doesn't always answer the practical question of how to devote enough time to any one part. And Joya Mukherjee, a prominent doctor involved in human rights, said in a speech about her own life, "Live with a radical notion that your life is of one piece, that family, friends, your children, your vocation, and your joy are of one piece, and that is what I strive for." So what has changed in my thinking? The second C. You want to sit down, Dallas? You're probably tired of holding the sign. I thought I would have all the answers would be easy, that right is right and wrong is wrong, and that I would do things that I thought were right, but every decision has a consequence, and you just want to, there's so many considerations in parenting. And I read a book on parenting once that said, make the best decision that you can, and make the best of the decision you made. And this also wants me to really send out love to my own parents and grandparents for all of the decisions that they had to make about me each day. I think I turned out okay, but it's a tough job. Some of the lessons that our parents tried to instill in us for sure are not fully understood or appreciated until we're much older. So even if our kids don't get it at the time we want them to, it doesn't mean they won't ever get it. Parenting is a marathon, not a sprint. And the last thing, what confirmed my thoughts on parenting? I always knew the familiar phrase, it takes a village to raise a child, would ring true. I knew I'd need a lot of support and appreciate a lot of support from family, friends, and others in raising children and being a parent. I'm most grateful for my parents and my in-laws and their bond as grandparents with my children. And I think that's one of the most special parts of my life. And I think raising children in a world where perhaps it's very easy to become isolated, I want to show and model to my children the joys of a strong network of social ties. Church, teams, clubs, friends, and family, and that my children know that they can seek joy from being in community with others. And parenting offers this chance to show our kids what it means to live together in love. And this togetherness is ultimately what God wants for our lives. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Michelle Martins-Bolton. I wanted to start by wishing everyone a happy Mother's Day that's here today. That's aunts, sisters, moms, grandmas, or omas. Happy Mother's Day. I have to admit that when Alicia first approached me to speak, my immediate response to her, and you can ask her, was no, no way, absolutely not. I don't do well in front of adults. I can have a million kids in front of me, but as soon as you put me in front of the church, I'm very nervous, so. then God, working in his infinite ways, persuaded me somehow to accept the offer. So, as I said, nervously I stand before you all today. I took a little bit of a different approach than Maida did, and I'm sure that's probably why Alicia asked the three of us to speak. She told us to give our own take on what she had given us to talk about. So being asked to talk about my experience as a mother brings many feelings to mind. A spectrum of emotions that range from joy and elation to sadness and heartache. I've heard it before, and it rings true, that when you have children, it is like wearing your heart on your sleeve. I can honestly say that I had no idea what I was getting myself into. I was completely oblivious, and as I thought, I was preparing for motherhood, you know, the baby showers, the caring advice from family and friends, and best wishes for my ever-nearing due dates. Nothing in this world can truly ready you for that moment when you hold your newborn in your arms for the first time. All of a sudden, your focus in life changes, and there is nothing that you wouldn't do or give up for this little one staring up at you. They are truly a miracle from God. I have always felt that my girls were, and I'm going to put this in quotation marks, on loan to me from God, and that he had entrusted me because he believed in me, and he had faith that I would do my best to take care of them for him. To me, that's really special. Now, that being said, motherhood is tough. It is learning on the job type of work that I feel I will never be good at, even after all the years I've already invested. Some moments, I finally think I have it under my belt, and I'm feeling accomplished and seasoned, and the next moment, I feel defeated and lost. I believe that I am not alone in these emotions. Motherhood is definitely the hardest thing I've ever had to do, but it is also the most rewarding. I remember watching the TV show Roseanne with my mom, and I'm going to say the first time it appeared, not the reboot of it, and Roseanne made a comment about understanding why some animals eat their young. My mother laughed and laughed, and I did not find this very amusing. So she said to me, "Oh, Michelle, one day, you too will understand." I now know wholeheartedly. I understand this quote, and I know why my mom found it so funny. Sorry, Tori and Kira, you too will appreciate these words someday. As I look back on my life as a mom so far, I've been through many different stages. We as a team, and I say we as a team, my family and I, my girls and I, my husband and I, have trudged through some rough times and sailed through some easier times. These moments of difficulty brought us closer together and closer to God. My family has always been there to cheer me on as a mom and to pick me up when I felt I was not able to carry on. Sorry. These were the occasions that I had to pick myself up, brush myself off. I used the words, put my big girl pants on, and fiercely put one foot in front, pray fiercely, and put one foot in front of the other to make sure my children had everything they needed to feel cherished and loved. God blessed me every step of the way. I am very grateful for all we have experienced in our lives as they have shaped us into the people we have become. I'm sorry. Nothing happens by accident. I strongly believe God has a plan for all of us. I am thankful that I have a loving and supportive husband who encourages me every step of the way to be the best mom I can be. It has been said many times that it takes a village, as Mita said, to raise a child, and I affirm that no truer words have ever been spoken, and I thank each and every one of you as well in my church family. Tori and Kira have taught me many valuable and humbling lessons through our years together thus far, and I expect, as time goes on, to discover more wisdom and enlightenment into this amazing world called motherhood. Though, that being said, I know that I will never truly be a perfect mom, nor do I ever expect to achieve such a high rank. I kind of saved that for my mom, so thank you, Mom. Thank you, God, for blessing me with the task of raising two amazing daughters, and for giving me a wonderful, loving, and supportive family. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Channy Weens. When I was 15 and in grade 10, I came home after school one day to an empty house. We didn't have cell phones way back then, and I saw the light blinking on the answering machine. Upon pressing play, I heard a message from my mom's doctor's office that the results of her breast ultrasound were in. My whole body froze. I had no idea she was getting testing done. This was the first day of the rest of my life and my last day of innocence. My mom had cancer, and I didn't know it then, but she would die from it. And I didn't know that it would be 11 years, 11 long, agonizing, emotional years of ups and downs and successes and failures. In August 2011, as we sat in hospice, waiting for her tired, weak body to finally give up, this song played through my head. No storm can shake my inmost calm, while to that rock I'm clinging. If love is Lord of heaven and earth, how can I keep from singing? Did you know my mom? Because if you did, you would know why God put that song into my heart. My mom was always singing, and I don't mean following a tune, but her spirit just sang. She was special. She was different. She had so much potential, and she fought every last step of the way. But in reality, I did not really have a mother after that phone message, not the one that I needed, and not the one that I craved. She died on a Thursday night. Watching her die confirmed to me that there is an afterlife. I watched her spirit leave her body. It did not sink in or disappear. It left. It went somewhere. On that same week, on the Saturday morning, I found out I was pregnant. Her funeral was Monday. In the months that followed, everyone was grateful for the pregnancy. I think it helped to have something to talk about other than my mom's death. People could come up to me in public and not feel awkward because they had something happy to talk about. And so it was comforting and exciting and kind of muted the emotions. On May 18, 2012, I went into labor. It was all pretty routine. I was admitted, they broke my water, I labored until I finally begged for an epidural, had to wait for the epidural, got the epidural. I pushed and Julianne was born. I was so happy it was a girl. I knew that this was a gift from my mom. I couldn't wait to hold her. This was the moment everyone talks about when that love finally flows out of you. But all of a sudden, I realized something was wrong. The doctor looked worried. The cord was cut and 14 nurses and doctors rushed into the room and put an oxygen bag on her. "What's wrong?" I asked, panicked. "We just need her to breathe," said the doctor. She wasn't breathing. Nothing abnormal had shown up on the scan. 50 seconds. 50 seconds they bagged her. 11 years passed in those 50 seconds. And by the time they brought her to me, I was shaking too hard and I could barely hold her. And then they had to rush her to the NICU. And then it was an hour before I could hold her again. So I never got that moment. 2 years later, I'm home with her. Or sorry, 2 days later, I'm home with her. And I have my first panic attack. 2 months after that, I have my first vision of suicide. 3 months after her birth, I can't believe that I hate being a mother with every fiber of my being. Something I thought it would be perfect, something I thought I would be good at, that would be joyful, everyone promised me would be wonderful. I hate it. "Don't you love it?" people came up and asked me, and the knife twisted deeper. 4 months later, I stopped breastfeeding and was shamed for it. Didn't I know that that was what I was supposed to be doing, to feed my child? 5 months later, the visions of suicide are so strong and so deep that I realize it isn't normal. I finally reach out for help, and I'm finally diagnosed with postpartum depression. And then 6 months after her birth, I'm on antidepressants. 18 months later, I finally start to enjoy being a mom. 2 years later, I had gained 70 pounds. And today, almost 6 years to the day later, I am fit, I am healthy, I am not on medication. I have a loving, supportive husband who has been there with me every step of the way, and beautiful, smart, passionate children. I put everything I can into my work at UMEI, and I love, love being a mom. So where is God in all this? The answer is not clear, and I'm still trying to figure that out. In the thick of the depression, I thought he had abandoned me, that I was all alone. I was lost and no one was looking for me. I had had such a strong faith, yet all these things happened to me. And then I started going to Bible study with women from Windsor Mennonite Fellowship, the congregation where I grew up. These women, who all knew my mom, were there for me in a way I can't explain. Accepted me and loved me, a community of believers and a place to learn more about God when getting to church on a Sunday was pretty much impossible for me. And now I try to use my experience and my story to help others. You might think that I'm brave for saying these things, or maybe some of you are even offended by me saying that I hated being a mom. But I feel that this is a gift from God, my ability to share and be honest. It's helped me in my work at UMEI, as we've had many students, including those from this congregation, who have lost parents while they were at school, and I've been able to be a support and a resource for them. And that is a gift. God is in the face of my children. Every time they need me and beg for my attention, I think that's how much God wants us. God is like a two-year-old tugging at her shirt, saying, "Mom, Mom, Mom, pay attention to me, love me, worship me." He made us because he loves us and desires our devotion. Watching how my children love, how much they wonder, how much they trust, this is what it means when God says to have faith like a child. He gave us life, and now we create life, and I take very seriously the responsibility to nurture that life. And God is our mother, the only perfect mother we will ever know. So on Mother's Day, as a daughter, I mourn. I mourn the mother I didn't really have and don't have now. And I mourn the years I lost where I wasn't the mom that I wanted to be. But now, as a mother, I celebrate the gift I have, and that I have the ultimate mother in God to look to. At UMEI, we sing a lot of praise and worship songs under the direction of Wes Shuttleworth. And there's a wonderful song, if you don't know it, it's called Good, Good Father. And I'm just going to end by reading the lyrics, but I'm replacing the word father with mother. I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard a tender whisper of love in the dead of night. But you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good mother. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but where I've known we're all searching for answers only you provide. Because you know just what we need before we say a word. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. Love so undeniable, I can hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable, I can hardly think. As you call me deeper still into love, you're a good, good mother. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am.